Good morning. And I'm glad that Gavin has already done this because it means that it's going to work. He is risen. You know, I grew up and some of my earliest memories of Easter is that call and response. And so it never feels like Resurrection Sunday until that has happened. But I actually want to try something a little bit different this year. I'm going to try and push myself a little bit. A couple of weeks ago, I got Dave Blackman to record something in Aliara for me. This is, Jesus has become alive. Truly, he has become alive. And so I'm going to try and do this as a bit of a call and response. If you can, you can join in with the last bit. So the first bit is Jesus an kel itithro, and I am probably butchering the pronunciation. But the response is ran en yal itithro. So, Jesus an kel itithro. Awesome. It is Easter Sunday. It is Resurrection Sunday. And I love this day. Because today is a day of celebration. Today is a day of rejoicing. Today is a day of hope because the tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. And yet, I don't know about you, but sometimes I feel like I've heard this story so many times that I've become a little bit numb to it. Sometimes I feel like I have heard this again and again. For me, I grew up in the church. And I wonder if sometimes I've become a little bit blasé to it. And I love this year I was able to be part of the service of the shadows, something I've never been part of before, and it's something that this church does. And I was just reflecting, because in the service of the shadows, there are readings from Jesus's last day, of the agonies that he went through. And each time one is read out, a candle is put out. And you're sitting towards the end in darkness. But the last reading, Jesus is put in the tomb, and one candle is relit. And I was just thinking about that and reflecting on that this year and going, he's gone into the tomb, but there is hope. And we have that hope today because the tomb is empty. Isn't that a good thing? So I want to walk through the story of the road to Emmaus Day, and it's Luke chapter 24, verses 13 to 27 is where I'm going to start. And if you want to find it in your Bibles and read along, that would be great, but it will be up on the screen. And it says this, now that same day, this is Easter Sunday, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. And if you're wondering like I was, it's about 11 kilometers. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them, but they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, what are you discussing together as you walk along? And they stood still, their faces downcast. And one of them, named Cleopas, asked him, are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days? What things? He asked. This is almost like Jesus is wanting to Google himself. What are people saying about me? About Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hope that he was going to be the one to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. He said to them, how foolish you are, how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. You know, as I read through this story in preparing, one of the things that stood out to me is these guys come so close. They come so close to understanding about who Jesus is, and then they just miss the point. And I know what it's like to miss the point because my family will regularly tell of the times that I have missed the point of jokes. In fact, I think I was in college before I understood what's black and white and red all over a newspaper. I think I was in college before I worked out that red wasn't actually the color. I know what it's like to miss the point. And these guys, as they have gone through, as they have heard from Jesus, they have missed the point about who he is. They've missed the point of what he's been trying to share with them over the last few years. And as I've been reflecting on that in this passage, I have to ask the question, have we missed the point of Easter? Have we missed the hope that is found in the Easter story? Because there is so much hope there. And I think that sometimes we can become so numb to it. So today I want to look at three things on Easter Sunday, on Resurrection Sunday, that give us hope. And so if we look at verses 19 to 20, at what these guys said, what things, he asked, about Jesus of Nazareth, they replied. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. You know, I love the way that these two disciples describe Jesus. He was a prophet. You know, that's pretty high praise to these guys. He was powerful in word and deed. He said things that were wise. He explained things in ways that we could understand. But he also did miracles. He put his money where his mouth was, and his actions reflected who he was inside. He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed. But then they also say, before God and all the people. They emphasize that this is somebody who was respected, who was considered holy before God and in front of all the people. They understood so much of who Jesus was, and yet when I look at that, they've also missed the point because they are describing a person. They see Jesus as just a person like you or me. And yet, Jesus is so much more than that. See, I think that today we can still fall into this trap. There are lots of people who see Jesus as a really, really good person. He's a really great moral teacher. There's so much that we can learn from him, but I don't know that I want to take that Son of God idea. I'm sure you've heard that said in places. And yet, if we see Jesus as just a person, we miss the point of Easter. Because we have hope because Jesus is God made flesh. This is who Jesus is. Jesus is not just another person like us who just happened to make all the right decisions. Jesus is 100% God and 100% man. Jesus is God made flesh. And I love the way that Eugene Peterson paraphrases John 1:14. He says, the word became flesh and blood and moved into the neighborhood. We saw the glory with our own eyes, the one-of-a-kind glory, like Father, like Son, generous inside and out, true from start to finish. I love that idea of the word becoming flesh and blood and moving into the neighborhood. Because that speaks of something that gives me hope. It tells me that God himself chose to come to earth. God himself chose to have the incarnation as Jesus because he loves us. Jesus came because God loves us and God cares about us so much. And he knew what was coming. He knew that there would be pain. He knew that there would be suffering. He knew that there was death. But he chose to come because of love. Because he loves you and he loves me. And this is a powerful idea. But the other thing that I love about the fact that Jesus is God made flesh is because we have somebody who understands what it's like. He's not distant, he's not alien, but he understands what it's like to be tempted. He understands what it's like for life to be hard and difficult. We see in the Gospels that Jesus understands grief. He understands what it's like to have friends who are sick. He understands what it's like to be betrayed, to have pain. We have somebody who understands with us. See, I have hope at Easter because Jesus is not just a person who made the right decisions, because I can't do that. But he is God who chose all that for us. And that's something that gives me hope. The next thing that I want to say comes from Luke chapter 24, verse 21. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. You know, there are so many things that I could say in this passage and so many rabbit holes that I went down as I was preparing for this. But it was actually that phrase, we had hoped that he was going to redeem Israel, that God used to capture my attention on this passage as I was preparing. Because I go, once again, they are so close. These guys are so close to understanding, because Easter is a redemption story. Easter is the story of us being redeemed. And yet, these guys, when they said redeem Israel, they were thinking about a physical redemption. They were thinking Jesus was going to come and overthrow the Roman Empire. And Israel could rule itself again. They were hoping for another golden age of Israel, like in the time of David, in the time of Solomon. And yet we know how well that worked out the first time. And I would love to just see what was happening inside Cleopas and his friends' minds as they continue to walk down the road with Jesus and he continues to unpack what is said about himself in all the scriptures. As he unpacks the fact that right from the get-go, this is meant for more than just Israel. See, one of the reasons that I have hope on Easter Sunday, on Resurrection Sunday, is because God's plan is for everyone. And as we talk about missing the point, this is just a slight side tangent. I've realized that I've put all of these in the past tense. I've put was. This should be is. We have hope because God's plan is for everyone, not was. I kind of missed the point there a little bit. But I have hope because God's plan is for everyone. This is not just about Israel. This is not just about one small nation in first century. This is a plan that is for everyone. This is a love that extends so much wider than we could hope or imagine. And you know, when you read through the Bible, it is clear God chose Abraham to use to bring about Jesus, but he did it so that the entire world would be blessed through him. You know, I love in the Easter story, and I actually read this passage out on Friday, when Jesus died, the curtain in the temple was torn in two. It is this sign that no longer does God's presence have to be separated from his people, but now we have access to God. But then there was also the Roman centurion who was standing there at the cross. He looks up and he sees Jesus die. He sees the darkness cover the land. He feels the earthquake. He sees all these things happen and he says, surely this man was the Son of God. I love that. because one of the first declarations comes from a Roman soldier, not an Israelite, not a Jew. Because this is for everyone. The Great Commission, we are to go into all the nations, teaching them about Jesus and baptizing them. This message is for everyone. And you know, something that I looked or that I worked out, and I may have been told it before, but it's never really clicked before. The order that Jesus appeared to people on Resurrection Sunday. He appears first to the women, and I'd heard that before. And I love that the first people that he appears to were people who at that time were not considered as important. But then he appears to these two random disciples on the road. Just these two people who are heading away from Jerusalem. And then, somewhere on this day, he appears to Peter. He makes three appearances before he goes to the 12. See, I love that because what Jesus is saying through his actions here is, this is for everyone. This is not about leadership having all the answers and then sending it out. This is about it comes from the grassroots, from individual people, because individual people are important. See, the tomb is empty because God's love and his plan is for everyone who is here. And I love that. That gives me hope. This is the freedom that each person has to make a choice for themselves. Who is Jesus to me? And the last thing that stands out to me in this story, the last thing that I want to focus on, comes from verses 22 to 24. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus. Now, I said at the start that I can understand what it's like to miss the point, but I think at this point, these guys are on their own. They had a record of an angel saying something to somebody, saying Jesus is alive, and they still missed it. I mean, you're starting to run out of excuses at this point. But one of the things that gives me hope on Resurrection Sunday is the tomb is empty. Jesus is alive. You know, if we stop at Friday, we've got the cross. We have a sacrifice for sin. And the cross is so important. And we can't forget the cross. We can't lose sight of the cross. But we have a sacrifice for sin. But we have no certainty. See, the tomb being empty is the sign that God's promises are fulfilled. It is the tomb that gives me hope because it is empty, and that says to me, God follows through on his promises. That Jesus is alive, that he is raised to life, that he has new life, that because of that, things have now changed. This is not the same world that it was before. See, because Jesus is alive, we know that there is victory over death. And we have that hope that sits there. Because if the tomb is empty, if Jesus has been raised to life, then that means that I have new life. Because if Jesus is raised to life, then that means that I am no longer the same person that I once was. That all of the sin, all of the shame, all the guilt that I have carried, I know it is dealt with. I know that it has been put to death. And I have a sign that promises it to me. Because God has kept his promise with raising Jesus from the dead, I can trust him with all the other promises. The promises that say that neither height nor depth, neither angels nor demons, nor anything else in all creation can separate me from the love that is found in Christ Jesus our Lord. I know that that love is there because the tomb is empty and God keeps his promises. The promise that, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. It's not about us getting our lives in order before we come to God, but because the tomb is empty, we know we can just go to God in all of our sin and all of our shame, and he will deal with it. And I don't have to carry it anymore. Because I know what it's like to be tied up with sin. I know what it's like to be tied up with shame, to have tried and tried and tried to get out of it, and it just doesn't seem to work. To feel like a failure, and yet I look at the empty tomb. And I know I don't have to carry that anymore. And I know that it is dealt with. And I know that I can trust his promises because I am made new. See, we have hope today because Jesus is God made flesh. We have hope because God's plan is for everyone. We have hope because the tomb was empty, but you know, I said I was going to have 3 points, but I've actually got 4. Because, you know, what's a little extra on Easter Sunday? Because what I love is about the way that this story ends as well. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" This is one of the things that I love most about God and one of the things that I keep going back to, because I miss the point so often. There are so many times that I get distracted, that I lose focus, that I miss the point. These guys had missed the point of who Jesus was. They had missed what he was doing. And yet, there was something stirring inside them. There was something burning within them that said, hey, something's going on here. And so they invite Jesus in. Come and do life with us. Come and have a meal with us. They invite Jesus in. They don't know who he is yet, but they invite him in anyway because they can feel something burning and stirring within. And it's when they invite him in that their eyes are open, that they see who he is and what he's been doing. And you know, one of my favorite stories in Scripture is a story of a man who comes up to Jesus and says, "Jesus, if you can, heal my child." And Jesus kind of looks at him and goes, "If I can, all things are possible for those who believe." That man's response gets me every time, because that man's response, quick as a flash, without even thinking, he goes, "I do believe. Help me overcome my unbelief." God's not afraid of us asking for help to believe in him. These guys didn't know who Jesus was when they invited him in, but they invited him in anyway because something was stirring inside. And as I finish up today, I've got that question. Where have we missed the point this Easter? And what parts of our lives do we need to invite Jesus into again today? Because there are times and there are places that we all begin to miss the point, where we all begin to lose focus. But Jesus is waiting there for us to invite him in. We don't have to have all the answers. We don't have to know exactly what it is, because we can ask Jesus, "Jesus, I need your help." And he wants to help us. I want to actually make a little bit of time and space for us today. I've got a song that was suggested that we should share today. It's called "Death Was Arrested." And I want to just use this as an opportunity to create space for you to reflect on that question. Today, on Resurrection Sunday, where do you need to invite Jesus into your life again? Where do you need to be reminded about who he is and his goodness and his faithfulness? But also, I want to do something that might be a little bit different and a little bit odd for here. I don't know. Because it's Resurrection Sunday, it's a day of hope. And I just wonder if there is anybody here who, as I've been speaking, there has been something stirring inside, something that goes, you know what, I want to know what this Jesus thing is all about. I want to know more about this hope that is had. And so while this song is happening, I want to invite you to just reflect on that. But if you want to know more about who Jesus is, if you want to know more about what he has done for us and the hope that we have, I'm going to just be out in the foyer. And I'd love to have some conversations with people and just tell you a little bit more about who he is. And so I want to invite you to join me out there if you want to. But Mike, if I can ask you to start the video, and I just want to invite you to reflect on that question today.